Hello there, boxing fans. Once again, thank you for joining me here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And today we're going to start off with not some recaps or previews, but some interesting information with respect to the pay-per-view argument. I say argument because there are many people now in the game of offering pay-per-view services, lining up both technology and production equipment to offer a live stream and offer that live stream to a paying consumer looking to watch that fight, whether a local fight or an internationally recognized fight. So of late, there's been some interesting arguments back and forth among the big dogs in the business. So let's start off with Jose Benavidez Sr., who tried to put a positive spin on David Benavidez's appearance on the undercard of the upcoming Gervonta Davis versus Frank Martin card on June 22nd, calling it an honor. Okay. Now, for quite some time, David Benavidez has been asking Canelo Alvarez for a fight. And realistically, you just take a look at, quite frankly, his last fight. David Benavidez had his last fight against Demetrius Andrade. You know, and if that had brought in some good pay-per-view numbers, which took place last November, then I could see the attraction of his name. Not necessarily caliber's fighting, I'm not doubting that, but just the attraction of his name among boxing fans and those who'd be willing to pay. You know, the numbers aren't cheap for these kinds of fights when it comes to pay-per-view. Realistically, that Andrade fight didn't bring in the numbers they expected, roughly 60,000 buys. And in that stratosphere, you know, well, actually didn't hit the stratosphere. It wasn't very good in terms of numbers, you know, especially it wasn't very attractive for someone like Canelo Alvarez. No wonder he turned him down. But anyway, so whether we see Alvarez and Benavidez fight, if Alvarez is successful in beating Jaime Munguia, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes, you know, then you might see a Benavidez versus Alvarez card sometime in the fall. But realistically, he's obviously not a big draw on the pay-per-view spectrum. Benavidez, by the way, he's 28-0, 24 knockouts, and he's going to be fighting Alexander Gvozdek for the WBC interim light heavyweight title to become the mandatory IBF WBC WBO champ. Artur Beterbiev, who, by the way, is facing the WBA champ, Dmitry Bivol, on June 1st for the undisputed championship at 175. So we'll see what happens. It's an interesting skew of developments, quite frankly, and has a lot to do with pay-per-view at the moment. So this leads me to my next story on pay-per-view, courtesy of Eddie Hearn. Now, you know, I've had some things to say about Eddie Hearn because he has a lot of things to say about a lot of things related to boxing. But here's some words straight out of his mouth with respect to pay-per-view, okay? And some people involved in pay-per-view, okay? So he was asked realistically about the Tim Tsayu and Fandura recent fight and whether it, you know, 10, 15,000 pay-per-view buys was realistic or not. And he said, as I understand it, less than 20,000, but who knows? A lot of people reported that Haney versus Progress did about 60,000, which is incorrect. And he says, Leonard Ellerby said, they did a show that lost millions of dollars. That's what Ellerby apparently said. While as Hearn says, we didn't lose any money from that fight, actually. It was actually quite a success. What I can tell you is that Haney versus Progress did between four or five times more than Tim Tsayu against Fandura. So in that respect, it was quite successful. But by the way, Tsayu, Fandura was a great show. So it's not, oh, Eddie said this, I congratulate you. It just wasn't a pay-per-view, that's all. And you wouldn't seen that. And it's going to take a lot of work, quite frankly. Look how long did LB abuse DAZN about being an app. Number one, Leonard Ellerby's friend, Mr. Heyman, his next show is on DAZN, Canelo against Munguia. They actually need that platform. Number two, continues Eddie, as media reports suggest, PBC representatives had conversations to try and get on DAZN. Who knows? Also, tell me what major fight coming up around the world that's already been scheduled in the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months that's not on DAZN. He continues, I don't actually know what Leonard's role in all this stuff is. He's still CEO of Mayweather Promotions. I don't know what they do. I don't know what fighters they are. I actually have no problem with Leonard. I think all these people are great for boxing. But when he says something, I don't get offended. I just respond. But when I say something, he loses his mind. Sorry. In boxing, what I've learned is that some people will put ego to the side to do business. Some won't. The reality is that PBC and Al Haymon really don't want to do business with anyone. They don't want to match their fighters with any other stable. I think we've established that. I've never, ever been able to have a conversation with doing a fight with PBC, which is weird, really, because now that they don't have any shows other than a handful of pay-per-view shows on Amazon, we should actually be doing those shared platform events where we could do massive fights, where I could get their fighters out. We could do it on Amazon. I guess they could do it on Amazon, and we could do it on DAZN. You have to remember that just because you have a big platform doesn't mean people are going to buy a pay-per-view. Very good point. Absolutely. Alrighty, let's have a quick look at some recent fights that I don't think were on any pay-per-view platform. Unbeaten super bantamweight Tito Sanchez, he's 13-0, scored a one-sided 10-round unanimous decision over Eric Ruiz, who's now 17-11-1 on Thursday night at the Fantasy Springs Resort Casino in Indio, California. So apparently after a slow start, Sanchez dropped Ruiz in round number 3 and punished him for the rest of the fight. The ultra-tough Ruiz, though, has never been stopped before. So there you go, his first loss. Nope, I see 11 losses. Maybe dropped. I don't know, who cares? Super bantamweight, Gucci Manny Flores, 17-1, 13 knockouts, demolished Alberto Guevara, 27-7 in round number 2. Flores looked sharp, pressed the action, cutting off the ring. Big right hook ended it at 2 minutes, 31 seconds, as I say, of round number 2. His cousin, Grant Flores, 4-0, took out Freddy Espinoza, 10-4, with a body shot at 1 minute 59 seconds of the first round. So, some good fighting over in Indio, California. Let's have some updates on Real Big Baby here. The unbeaten heavyweight phenom, I'm quoting here for all you British fans, the unbeaten heavyweight phenom, Jared, the Real Big Baby Anderson, 16-0, 15 knockouts, is gearing up to deliver another spectacle. Anderson will step up in class to face Belgian contender Riyad Merhi. He's 32-2, 26 knockouts. And that'll take place on ESPN April 13th at American Bank Center in Corpus Christi, Texas. Following a recent training session in Houston, this is what Anderson had to say. And I'll put in parentheses or air quotes here. He has been in the news recently due to his issues with the law. Setting that aside, he said, I feel like my career is going in the right direction. The only way is up, but I'm still working like it's my first day. We're on the job, so make sure you all stay with the journey. Stay with me. I have a better IQ than Merhi. You have to have a high IQ to do this. I have one of the best IQs in the heavyweight division, so make sure you watch the little things. Make sure you watch for the details. He's got a beating coming. I always come to entertain. Don't miss it. Okay, there you go. That's for all my British fans out there. Speaking of British, I see Jericho O'Quinn has withdrawn from his rematch with Peter McGrail, slated for April 27th at the Exhibition Center in Liverpool, England. McGrail, who had landed an immediate shot at redemption against Detroit's O'Quinn following his shock knockout loss last December in Arizona, the O'Quinn camp said personal family matters as the reason for the withdrawal. McGrail, he's 8-1, 5 knockouts, will now face former British super bantamweight champ Mark Leach. He's 18-3-1, 4 knockouts on the 27th. Over in Japan, I see we've got some news from our good friend Joe Kazumi. JBC top contender Fumiya Fuze, 14-3, impressively acquired the vacant Japanese bantamweight belt, renounced by Seiya Sumi after his successful belt-fighting defense against Kazuki Aniguchi last December, when he floored JBC number 2, Taichi Sugimoto. He's 10-2-3 now. twice before the referee's well-received intervention at 1 minute 38 seconds of the fifth round in a scheduled 10-rounder. That took place in Tokyo, Japan. Good stuff. All right, let's move along. Let's see what else we've got here from across the world. Ah, yes, Richardson Hitchens. Okay, here we go. Rising contenders will face off this upcoming weekend to see who will take on another step up the ladder at junior welterweight. This is going to be streamed live on DAZN. Richardson Hitchens takes on Gustavo Limos, with the winner moving on to bigger things, says BoxIn247.com. Hitchens signed with Eddie Hearn's Matchroom in search of opportunities at 140. Both Matchroom and Golden Boy Promotions have a plethora of great opponents. Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, Sabriel Mateus, Jose Ramirez, Regis Progress, and Arnold Barboza all fit the bill for quality foes for Hitchens, if indeed he's successful against Gustavo Limos. But let's not put the cart before the horse. Let's not discount entirely Gustavo Limos. Limos is a pressure guy who fights behind a high guard or makeshift shoulder roll, as he did versus Lee Selby. Limos has a big right hand, loves to throw the two-punch combos up close. He doesn't throw a bunch of punches like many come-forward boxers. Limos is a little more economical, but when he lets them go, they have meaning. Gustavo's riding 10 knockouts in a row streak. Wow. As he will attempt to make it 11. It should be noted those stoppages came over somewhat subpar opposition beyond Lee Selby. It should also be noted this is the first time Selby had been stopped. Hitchens, for his part, comes off a clean victory over Jose Zepeda. His other decent victories over John Bauza, Malik Hawkins, Yomar Alamo, and a way past his prime, but still game, split win over Arginas Mendez. Hitchens will look to use his boxing skills on the outside, at least in the opening rounds. His jab, hand speed, and defense are obvious to see and should give Limos some trouble. Limos needs to force the issue at some point, and it's probably best if it comes early. The best bet for Gustavo is to keep his guard tight and throw short punches with meaning. There you go, boxing fans and bettors out there. Speaking of betting, let's talk about Lomachenko for a sec. Vasily Lomachenko is set to return to the ring May 12th. He'll take on George Kambosos Jr. in Australia. Though Kambosos owns an impressive win over Teofimo Lopez, who beat Loma back in 2020, the general consensus is he's not on Lomachenko's level. Most pundits expect a comfortable win for the man we all know and love as Lomachenko Loma. Adsboxingscene.com. Don't worry, this isn't the beginning of an obnoxious diatribe on how Kambosos is actually a top level talent, and that I can see how underrated he has been. He looked well out of his depth twice against Devin Haney. Comparatively, the 35-year-old Loma went toe-to-toe with Haney in May of 2023 and had a good case for being the deserving winner. Lomachenko is just far more skilled than the tough but limited Kambosos. It's not hard to see why most observers believe Lomachenko will piece up his Aussie opponent. Well, won't that have Sky Nicholson raging? All right. Yesterday's announcement that John Scrappy Ramirez will face David Jimenez for the interim WBA super flyweight title on April 30th, the Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia pay-per-view, raised some questions, as recent reports claimed Ramirez was due for his mandated shot at full champion Kazuto Ioka. Those questions may now be answered, as ESPN's Fernando Barbosa reports that Ioka will meet IBF champion Fernando Pumita Martinez in his native Japan this coming June or July. All right, and as promised, a little bit of icing on the cake with respect to Jaime Munguia fighting Canelo Alvarez coming up May 4th on the Cinco weekend. Let's have a look here. According to Big Fight Weekend, written by Sadiq Ahmed, Jaime Munguia, 43-0, will be entering his May 4th fight with Saul Canelo Alvarez, 62-2, 39 knockouts, as an underdog. Their clash will headline a pay PBC pay-per-view event on Prime Video at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. The bout will see Canelo make the fourth defense of his undisputed status at super middleweight. Despite being a hard-hitting fighter and former world titleist, Munguia is not expected to dethrone the reigning champion. Anticipation for the fight featuring two of the top Mexican boxers in the world continues to build. With just a few weeks before fight night, Big Fight Weekend discusses three keys victory for Munguia as he seeks to cause an upset. One, he must utilize his reach advantage. Munguia's reach is 1.5 inches longer than Canelo's. While that's not a massive number, boxing is a sport where even the smallest details can prove advantageous, as we just heard from the real big baby himself. Boxing Hall of Fame Bernard Hopkins believes Munguia will have to take full advantage of this to come out on top. With that slight reach advantage, Munguia can land his shots from a safer distance. Number two, he must go the distance with Canelo. Canelo has fought some of the hardest hitting fighters in the sport, as well as several who had significant size advantages over him. Despite this, he's never hit the canvas as a pro. The closest he ever came to being ruled knocked down was against Jose Cotto over a decade ago. As such, trying to go for a stoppage against Canelo may not be the best idea. Trying to outland him over 12 may be the wise choice. And finally, high volume punching. Canelo's style values quality punches over quantity, something that could be taken advantage of. Munguia can adopt the approach of walking down his opponent and throwing punches at high volume. This will require great conditioning from Munguia to make this a tough fight for Alvarez. Only on fight night will fans finally get to know if Munguia has what it takes to emerge victorious. Will May 4th see a changing of the guard, or will Alvarez continue to assert his dominance in the super middleweight division? And if he does win, we are curious who he will fight next. I hope it's David Benavidez, but we'll see. Now, I recently posted a poll on our YouTube channel. You can check it out with respect to, I believe, the cruiserweights. So let's have a quick look at the super featherweight rankings according to the Sporting News Top 12. Number one, Emmanuel Navarrete, sporting at 38-1-1 record. Number two, Joe Cordina, 17-0. Oh, Shaki Foster, one of our favorites here on Talk and Fight, 22-2. Lamont Roach, 24-4-1. 24-1-1. Oscar Valdez, 32-2. Robson Canseco, 17-2-1. Hector Garcia, 16-2. Eduardo Nunez, 27-1. 27 knockouts. Shavkat Rakhimov, 17-2-1. Artav Ernastvan, 14-0. Anthony Kachaki, or Kakesi, 21-1. And Andres Cortez, 20-0, 11 knockouts, rounding out the top 12 at super featherweight, with Emmanuel Navarrete heading that list. That's the top 12 according to the Sporting News. All right, boxing fans, thanks very much for joining me. Appreciate it very much. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell, drop them some comments if you like. Visit me on talkandfight.com, and we'll see you again after a good weekend of fighting upcoming. And Talk and Fight, 11 a.m. Eastern Time is when I go live, but you can always catch my show in archive. All right, boxing fans, talk to you soon.